Hello, 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 and welcome to the First Taste reading series on the Day Beautiful podcast feed. I'm Adam Fitcavage, and on this version of the podcast, I invite a writer to read from their debut book so readers can get a first taste of exactly what they're in for. If you like what you hear here, check us out on daybeautiful.net and on all social media at daybeautiful. Today's guest was born in India and grew up in the United States and currently lives in Atlanta. She is a fiction writer, journalist, and literary critic whose writing has appeared in a number of publications, including The New Yorker, Art in America, Guernica, Los Angeles Review of Books, and The Paris Review. She holds an MFA from Columbia University and has received fellowships from the Hainbridge Center and the Kimmel Harding Nelson Center for the Arts. Her debut book, Inside the Mirror, is out now. Please welcome Parul Kapoor. Hey there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, Adam. It's very nice to be here with you.
Oh, of course. I'm glad we were able to connect. Congratulations on being part of the Get the Word Out publicity incubator. And I'm curious, just how's that going? What are you learning? How are things for you in the publicity world?
In the publicity world, that incubator that was started by poets and writers, it just concluded. It was a wonderful program. I can't even imagine what it would be like to bring a book out without knowing all the things that they taught us about the publishing industry, about, you know, what authors can do for promoting their books, because we've spent all this time writing it. And so, of course, you would like to have people know about your book. So that was a wonderful program that covered just about every aspect of you know, book promotion, from bookstores to how to send email blasts out and all of that. And I have other writer friends, and they're all like very eager, like, how do you become part of that? So
yeah, no, I'm glad they exist. The poets and writers have done it. They Get the Word Out publicity incubator, so great. And you were part of it for your debut novel, Inside the Mirror. Tell readers a little bit about what that book is from your perspective.
Sure. So Inside the Mirror is a book that I worked on for a very, very long time. And it started when I was a young woman. I had immigrated to the US as a child, and I went back to India to work as a journalist. I thought I might want to live back in India. That was a very transformative year as a journalist, as a woman, I should say, what I was exposed to as a journalist there. And so, including writing about art there, I was very interested in art. So art plays a central role in my novel, and we'll get into how. So Inside the Mirror is set in 1950s Bombay, India, which is today known as Mumbai. It's the story of twin sisters giving birth to themselves as artists as the nation rebirths itself after the devastation of colonial rule. Both the sisters and the country are struggling to be born in a new form. And this arises from the tragedy and violence, not only of British rule, which ended in 1947, but India was sort of born and died in the very same time, this very same year, because the British left, it became independent. And yet when they left, they partitioned the country into East and West Pakistan and India in the center. And that resulted in enormous bloodshed, catastrophe. Several million people were killed. Tens of millions were displaced. So these young girls have witnessed that as young adolescents. Their family was not directly affected, except extended family members, including their grandmother was. So they have seen this horror as witnesses. And that has affected, it's out of this wound, really, that their art grows. And so they are, when the story opens, they're in college. Jaya is studying to be a medical doctor and her sister a teacher. They've been put in college by their father, who's very enlightened in that he wants them to be educated, but he has determined their professions. And these arts that are sort of their private dreams are never supposed to be more than hobbies in their lives. So the story chronicles their pursuit of these private desires that grows out of this awful wound that happened to them, their family, and their country. And it chronicles the familial and societal opposition to these dreams and how shame can engulf women and their family if they defy the laws of society, and it can literally destroy them all. So that kind of shame is not known in the West. It is a very integral part of Indian culture. And if women and their families fall into disgrace, it jeopardizes their ability really to survive even. So that's the story.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. What part, you told it beautifully. What part of the book will you be reading for us today?
Okay, I'll be reading from the very opening of the book. It's chapter one from part one. Part one is titled The Witnesses and Their Dreams. And so this is chapter one.
Terrific. Take it away.
Okay. Inside the gunny sacks were the makings of a man. There were two bags, roughly dividing the bones for the upper and lower halves of the body. And Jaya had not wanted them inside the bedroom. But her father said they should not be stored on the balcony during the monsoons, where she'd kept them last month, because they might start to smell in a heavy rain. The servant boy had climbed a stool and placed the sacks on top of the wardrobe at her father's instruction, her mother grimacing as the thin boy raised the bundles overhead. Jaya had been told to ask the servant to retrieve the sacks for her whenever she was ready to work in the afternoons. Instead, she had moved the rootless bones once again. She'd removed a pile of household wreckage from the corner between the wardrobe and the wall, a broken towel rack, loose shelves, boxes of childhood belongings, and pushed the bone sacks into the space where she could easily reach them. Today, she had pulled out both bags, not only the one containing the bones of the upper body, which she had to mark up. She hesitated before removing the rib cage and placing it on an old sheet spread over the dhurry on the floor. She glanced behind her. The door was shut. No one liked to see her laying the bones on the bedroom floor and taking her red chalk to draw a line where a muscle originated and marking in blue chalk where the muscle inserted. Now she took out the brownish basin of the pelvis, searched for the long shaft of the thigh, and found a fully formed foot, all the knotty bones threaded together. These were new bones to her. She had not dared to assemble them like this before. The first couple of times she'd set out to do her assignment, she had asked Kamlesh to stay in the room on the pretext of holding open Gray's anatomy for her. Searching inside the sacks was frightening. All sorts of forms coming into her hands, rough protrusions and smooth cavities. She'd have to pull out a number of bones until she found the ones for the arm that they were dissecting in college. Her twin had frowned and asked to leave, looking so distraught that Jaya realized she would have to do her work in privacy. If their grandmother happened to be in her alcove at the back of the bedroom, which the three of them shared, Jaya would ask her to shift to another room, and Baby G would rise from her bed, taking with her the many newspapers she read religiously. Baby G found it indecent for a person to handle human remains. From her writing table, Jaya fetched her pen and ink bottle and tore a sheet from a tablet of drawing paper. She tacked it to a small plank she used as an easel. She sat on the floor, leaned against Kamlesh's curio cabinet, and considered the skull with its clenched set of teeth and hollow eyes, the winged hole of the rib cage, the rod of a femur, and beneath a gap of white sheet, the fan-like foot. The morgue prepared the bones from the bodies of the unclaimed dead found in the roads and railway stations. Each first-year medical student was partnered with a fresh skeleton. Here were the pieces of a man. Who had he been? Jaya drew the rib cage with a slower hand. The trunk of the sternum and looping branches of ribs needed close attention to be given form as a whole, with lines and shading. A splotch of ink spread on the half-made foot, the toes sharp as pincers. A thought came to her. How do you become someone? She wrote the words like a banner in a fluttering script and capped the pen, lifting the board from her lap. For a moment, she let herself drift, closing her eyes as she tried to feel some connection to the man, moving on to the bedsheet she slipped a few feet away from the fragmented figure she had laid out. Aligning her body parallel to his, she lay down, wondering if she could assess the man's height, determine something about him. The bell rang, the front door banged shut. Hirabai must have answered. Jaya could never hear the maidservant's barefoot movements in the flat. Clicking steps hurried down the passage. Their mother called out, "You've come, Kumlesh?" Jaya was pushing herself up when her sister opened the door and caught her sitting beside the partially assembled skeleton. Her twin made a face, clutching a parcel to her chest. "What are you doing? Making the whole thing up?" "I wanted to try drawing it." Jaya stood up and arranged the pleats of her sari. Her nervous hand went to her hair, which was bound in a neat plait down her back. "They want you to draw the full skeleton?" "No, I wanted to see how the bones fit together." "Just like that?" Kumlesh squinted at her. "Yeah, just like that," said Jaya, bending over to gather her art materials, then the bones.
Thank you so much to Perul for joining the First Taste Reading Series to read from her debut novel, Inside the Mirror. You can find her on the internet at perulkapoor.com and on Instagram at perulkapoorwriter. You can follow Daybeautiful at daybeautiful.net and on all social media at daybeautiful. And as always, I'm Adam. This is Daybeautiful, and you're all beautiful.